CBSI in the World, I'm John Batchelor. Adrian Wooldridge, the author of The Aristocracy of Talent, How Meritocracy Made the Modern World. We're talking about the governance that it right now has made the world safe in a pandemic. We're talking about the governance that hopes to restore the prosperity that existed before the pandemic. And where did it come from? And is it to be trusted? We've talked about the left, starting with doubts in the 1930s. But the right, represented by two events in these last years. One is the Brexit vote in 2015, and the second is the election of a non-politician, Donald Trump of New York, in 2016. This is the populist school, and the populist school has doubts about meritocracy. So, Adrian, let's generalize first. Populism doubts meritocracy because it's made up of experts, because it does not represent common sense. Oh, is that the same in the United Kingdom with the leavers as it is with the Trump voters, we're told, in the United States? Are these the same people?
Absolutely. Absolutely the same people. So it's experts. So in Britain, one of the leaders of the Leave campaign, Michael Gove, said, "We've had enough of experts." And the experts got very upset. The notion that they don't have common sense, very much the argument here. And also, both in Britain and the United States, another argument was these people are snobs. They look down on us. They're self-satisfied, they're arrogant, and they look down on us. And I think another important part of the argument was the argument that these people think they're clever, and they're actually not that clever. They're not very good at running the country. So you have a series of catastrophes that have taken place under the aegis of these so-called meritocrats, the most important of which being the financial crisis, which almost brought the world to its knees. And so what you see endless similarities between what happened with Brexit and what happened with Trump. But some of the most important are that less educated voters, on the whole, voted for Brexit, as they did for Trump. The people who came from outside the sort of golden triangle, the best connected parts of the country, voted for Brexit and voted for Trump. And the people who voted for Brexit and voted for Trump were very angry and disillusioned with the status quo. And a lot of people, I think, who voted for Brexit didn't actually necessarily think that Brexit would produce a more prosperous society, although they thought it might do. They hoped it might do. But they just wanted to give a kicking to the establishment. They thought the establishment was too effete, too self-satisfied, too smarty pants, and it needed a jolly good kicking. And I'm sure that that was the case with Trump as well. So very powerful cross-cultural similarities. And you also see the same sort of thing amongst populists right across Europe.
You point to a book, 1995, late 20th century, Christopher Lash, Revolt of the Elites, Betrayal of Democracy. I do not have that book, so I ask you to understand the late 20th century. This is during Clinton's administration. So early on, the right, and it isn't necessarily the Republican Party, but that'll do for generality, saw that what was happening was they were being ignored, that the voters were being ignored. How is this proposed?
Well, Christopher Lash's book is a brilliant book, and he's a very interesting story, really, because he starts off as a Marxist, very much on the left-wing academic, but sort of moves to the right, or at least begins to take the complaints of the right very seriously. And one of his central arguments in this is that the revolt of the elites, it's the elites who turn against patriotism, who turn against nationalism, who turn against religion, and who are favor of cosmopolitan values, looking down on ordinary Americans from the great heights of their cosmopolitan elitist values. And I think it's a great paradox, because a lot of these, the radicalism of the, let's say, the 1990s was actually led by, you know, by people who were in power, like the Clintons. So they're radicals in power, and they're saying we must dismantle a lot of the inherited structures of the country. Classically, flag waving patriotism, religion, and replace them with a new set of liberal values. And that causes a big populist reaction back in favor of the flag, in favor of religion, in favor of traditional values from people who feel that they're being looked down upon by Harvard, Yale, Stanford and the rest of these credentialing institutions.
Yes, the diploma democracy and the cognitive elite. In the 2016 campaign, it came down to one word, deplorables. So what we have here is the right picking up early on that there is an elite that is, and we didn't mention it before, this is a left criticism, but I wonder if the right as well, that it marries itself. So it's self-sustaining. There's no social mobility offered.
Well, one of the problems with I argued earlier that one of the problems with the meritocratic elite is it also becomes a plutocratic elite, an elite that sustains itself by using its money to defend itself from outside incursions. And the second part of that is what is called by specialists, by experts, assortative mating. And that is that people who come from this elite marry other people who come from this elite and produce children that they then go on to invest huge amounts of money in training. And the classic example of that, of course, is the Clintons, Hillary and Bill, who not only marry each other and produce a child, Chelsea, who then goes on to have a classic sort of career in philanthropy plus consultancy plus, I think, venture capital of some sort. And that these groups are not true meritocrats. In a true meritocracy, you'll have lots of social mobility. In a true meritocracy, you'll have lots of people falling out of the elites into lower positions. In a true meritocracy, you'll have lots of ways of providing opportunities to the masses in society. What we now have is a degenerate version of meritocracy, a plutocracy with a meritocratic veneer.
The book is The Aristocracy of Talent. Adrian doesn't leave it with describing the problem. He has recommendations. The recommendations are practical and reformist and, of course, utopian all at the same time. So we're going to turn to them when we come back. What is to be done with a meritocracy that at this point is not trusted by either of the energies in political leadership? I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.